first started, we realized that recording sort of involved a lot of money, and our original idea when we set up the studio for demo work for other bands or for singles was to keep it really cheap, to sort of keep some ethic following around that. We're still keeping that. It's way below everybody else's prices. And the studio itself is like set in a terrace house in Sydney. And it's two rooms, about 12-foot cubes, simple 8-track setup.
Do you contract the bands or?
We have a verbal agreement that at this stage what we're recording is going to be released on our label. And we have a verbal agreement which entitles us a sort of like a mutual decision about what happens to that record in the future. I think once things become like we definitely release something overseas, there'll be a written contract implying those things with regards to that record, not the band. We don't want to get caught up in being managers or, you know, 5-year deal or things like that. Patrick, Mitch and myself do most of the engineering in the studio working recording bands, and when each of us does a shift that day, we get paid money for doing the engineering fee. And also in live situation, we engineer Dead Travel Fast and all of our bands we're not in.
And the other bands.
And we get paid for that. And like the money from the studio that's earned by doing demos goes into the records, plus with, you know, private investments as well. We're self-contained in the respect that we do all our own gigs and organise our own records and all that sort of thing. Mitch and myself and Patrick are, like, we are the people that organise all the gigs. So in that sense, we're kind of like a promoter or booking agent or something like that. And if anybody wants to get a hold of the bands, they generally have to get them through us, because they're having the most accessible number. And I don't like the idea of people in bands being deluged with phone calls all the time by any crackpot.
So sort of a filtering agency in a way.
Yeah. And also with regards to releasing things, we tend to take advisory roles. So we become management in that sense too. Like, say the Dead Travel Fast respect our opinions on something. If they play us something, and they know we're not going to say, oh, yeah, that's really good, if we think it's horrible. Or if we have some idea of how to change it, a suggestion, I'll take that into account. And also we kind of act like producers too by being, when we're engineering, we invariably end up suggesting things. We don't sort of sit there and go really quietly and engineer away. We tend to say, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? And so we act like producers as well. And also we're handling all the publicity, so we're controlling that aspect too. But at any given stage, a person in a band can say, I don't like the way that's going on, and we have to change it. If there's, like, even when there's going to be a record released by somebody outside what's already set up, we generally play the tape and everybody will listen to it, and everybody will say what they like about it, or there's more ears to have opinions. And like, say we're doing a tour, we pull everybody together and say, what do you think could go wrong, or can you see anything? And we made them understand the mechanics of what we were doing. Like, I costed out everything, and so they could see where all the money was going. And they give the according advice. It doesn't happen 100%. Like, I think a lot of people being more introverted would hesitate to say something, but ultimately it should work out. They contribute.
Unless they get the opportunity to voice an opinion.
Yeah.
What we originally wanted to do was just to sort of give exposure to bands that may not otherwise have even gotten a record out or sort of had the opportunity to use 4-track or 8-track facilities to do recording. Sort of, Michael.
That was our original premise. But I think as we've gotten older, we've become a lot more selective. I think at first we would have taken anything
and released it.
Yeah, whereas now, sort of after 5 million Kraftwerk clones and Cabaret Voltaire clones and all those sort of people, we sort of become a lot more selective.
What sort of ambitions does M Squared have?
I'd put a big letter M on top of center point.
I don't know, I think what
for
we
the future, I mean.
What we plan to do is another tour. I'd like to go to Adelaide too. And play in Adelaide. Oh, we'll just play more places.
Be nice to go overseas and play.
And this label in France who wants to put out the M Squared stuff, that's pretty exciting.
The most exciting thing we're doing now is we're working on a film.
Mm.
Jeez, I'm starting filming today.
A 7-hour documentary.
We're going to document what we're doing and also the environment around us, I suppose. Like, not just make it purely on M Squared, but sort of show things around us. So that maybe in 10 years' time we can show our grandchildren why we did it.
This is what we were doing, young fella.